This is Scott Berglin of KSOW LP in Cottage Grove, Oregon. We are turning to an issue around Coca-Cola and union organizing in Central and South America as well as elsewhere. We are honored to have on the phone Camilo Romero, who is the national organizer for United Students Against Sweatshops, and with him is William Mendoza, vice president of Sinaltrenol, the union in Colombia. Good morning to both of you.
Buenos dias, good morning.
And I will let people know that...
Buenos dias.
Oh, thank you. I was going to let people know that Camilo will be translating for William, so we'll have you're going to hear Spanish and English, and hopefully we'll get to these issues and get it out clearly for folks. And the first thing I want to ask is, I guess the background on folks. It's being called Killer Coke, and I think people that don't know are going to want to know why that so-called renowned soft drink has taken on such a negative label.
Primero, un saludo a todos los que me están escuchando. Yo vengo de Colombia, soy un sindicalista, trabajo para la transnacional Coca-Cola hace 17 años.
Well, first of all, a big hello and thank you to those of us that are listening to us today. And to make clear that I'm William Mendoza, I'm a worker with Sinaltrenal, the Colombian Food and Beverage Workers Union, and I've been working with the Coca-Cola Company for 17 years.
En el año 2003, líderes del mundo juzgaron a Coca-Cola sobre los crímenes que nosotros la acusábamos. Eso es parte de una campaña internacional de boicot contra la empresa por los 9 compañeros que han sido asesinados, los 67 compañeros que estamos amenazados de muerte, los 2 compañeros que están asilados aquí en los Estados Unidos y los 48 compañeros desplazados de sus zonas de origen.
In the year 2003, international leaders held tribunals that found Coca-Cola guilty and has spearheaded a global boycott against Coca-Cola for the sake of the 9 co-workers and friends of mine that have been murdered, for the 67 workers that are currently under the threat of death, for the 2 workers that have political asylum here in the U.S., and for the 48 workers and friends that have been displaced as internal refugees within Colombia.
Well, let me ask, William, I know that in the background for information on you, that you yourself have, as I suppose any worker, has been under threat of violence, if not death, due to organizing efforts. And so you have, obviously, as you've said, very personal experience with this. Is this a typographical error that I saw? I mean, it's not, it's astounding to me. If I'm not finding the number, but it was something like, yeah, there it is. Roughly 4,000 Colombian trade unionists have been murdered since 1986.
William, yo conozco un poco la historia de ustedes y me he dado cuenta que la historia suya es una también bastante tremenda y de una inquietud. ¿Será que ese número de 4,000 asesinados es un error tipográfico? Es algo demasiado grande. ¿Por qué será esa cifra tan alta y tan triste?
A ver, yo sí creo que es un error esa cifra de 4,000 porque consideramos que es muchísimo más los dirigentes sindicales y defensores de derechos humanos y líderes de organizaciones sociales asesinados en Colombia. Esa cifra es mucho, pero muchísimo más alta. Apenas tenemos registrados lamentablemente 4,000 asesinatos. Y se debe principalmente a esa alianza entre las transnacionales y los grupos paramilitares en Colombia para asesinar a los dirigentes, a la gente que es capaz de organizar la población.
In fact, Scott, I do think it's a typographical error where that number should be even higher. The fact is that because of collusion between paramilitaries and transnational corporations, there's been an enormous number, many which aren't able to be registered, of murders and other violence against workers or social leaders that only try to organize a community and fight for their rights.
So what do does William and you, Camilo, wish to accomplish with this tour that I know is going on right now through the around the country, pushing this boycott of Coke, etc.? What is it that you're hoping to accomplish?
¿Qué buscamos William y Camilo con esta campaña y con esta gira ahorita que estamos realizando?
A ver, buscamos principalmente dos cosas. La primera es sensibilizar al pueblo de los Estados Unidos, a la gente de los Estados Unidos, sobre la grave situación de violaciones a los derechos humanos y el genocidio sobre el movimiento obrero. Lo segundo es también sensibilizar a los Estados Unidos sobre lo que está haciendo una de las transnacionales que puede ser emblema de esta... este país, como es la Coca-Cola con los trabajadores. Los crímenes que Coca-Cola cometió en Colombia no pueden quedar impunes y estamos buscando justicia, verdad y reparación.
The focus of this tour in our campaign currently is twofold. The first is to bring awareness and to make sensitive the U.S. community as to what's taking place in Colombia and the larger conflict and the role of the U.S. government within it. The second portion is to make awareness and to make sensible the role of the Coca-Cola company in this general conflict in Colombia and how its ties to paramilitaries has led to this violence. And this is in a larger context of making sure that these types of crimes and this type of violence will not remain in impunity. And that is the call to action of folks that are listening here and that are a part of this speaking tour. And Scott, I would also add then that the particular chance for organizing lies within communities here in the U.S. If, for example, to mention the university side, is that at our universities, colleges, and high schools, there are enormous contracts with companies like Coca-Cola, where, say, where I went to school, University of California, they have a 10-year, multi-million dollar contract that provides funding into the undergraduate scholarships, into the graduate assembly, into the sports program, into the huge scoreboard they have at the stadium. The fact is that Coca-Cola is making money off of the students, and the university is as well. And so the call to action is to push for these contracts to be cut, that in our right conscience we cannot allow for a company with a record of the Coca-Cola company to have business, have any type of relationship with our university. Our universities that pretend to be bastions of higher learning and institutes for a greater moral ethic, that if companies like Coca-Cola will not respect the rights of workers in Colombia or the rights of communities and the environment in India or the right to organize in Turkey, Indonesia, and elsewhere, that we certainly cannot allow them to have a presence on our campus. And so the focal point is to have students to organize locally and to plug into now a global campaign against Coca-Cola that has spread from universities in the U.S. like NYU, University of Michigan, University of Montana, Florida State, and elsewhere, including schools in Canada, the U.K., in Western Europe most recently, coupled with those happening in Venezuela and Colombia.
Okay, well, I have a question for you, I think, Camilo, to follow up on that. And then I, of course, would like to get back to William. But I'm reading about a thing called the Coke Commission. Could you tell us what that is?
Sure. The Coca-Cola Commission was a commission set up by university administrators and the Coca-Cola Company. The purview of the commission was to set up an independent third-party investigation. Since after much effort of students, the administrators still weren't buying the story. They still had doubts that students might be exaggerating and that folks like William that had visited their campus were still making things up. And so they wanted to do something on their own. They wanted to get an investigation on their behalf. They would set clear the facts, facts that certainly are already clear. We went along with the process. This commission ended up, after months of meeting in Chicago, ended up just being another venue for Coca-Cola to hide behind this process. When university would ask, Coca-Cola, have you addressed these violations and these allegations? Coca-Cola would say, we're doing everything that we can. In fact, look, we're taking part in this commission process with universities. So they were hiding behind it. Beyond that, they were also trying to block the process of the investigation where, for example, to give you two examples, there were questions of whether or not
to allow for any evidence, testimony, or witnesses that would come about of this investigation to be included in the litigation and the evidence that Senat Reynal and those litigants in the Miami court of the lawsuit could use. They were saying anything that comes out of this investigation cannot be touched. It's private. It's sealed. Which defeats the purpose of having the investigation first. Mm-hmm. The second point was that, in fact, they wanted to say, okay, we can do an investigation. You can go down to Colombia, but you cannot ask any questions about the past. Which would, again, defeat the entire purpose of the investigation. How would you find out what's taking place if you can't ask anything about the past? And so, sadly, the commission has evolved into a venue where administrators are giving COOCOLA the benefit of the doubt at every turn. And the COOCOLA is just using it to hide and block. And sadly, the truth is that new cases have popped up since the formation of the commission in July, that there have been new cases, we mentioned briefly, in Turkey, in Indonesia, and as of last week, two new cases in Guatemala of violence against workers that are trying to organize.
So this is widespread. This is, seems to be a Coca-Cola policy. The way of to fight unions tooth and nail in every country.
And this happens despite the fact that Coca-Cola is spending quite a bit of money on creating a new department within its global structure, which is called the Department of Global Labor Relations, with a director named Ed Potter, whose job is to try to keep all this madness somewhat organized, I believe. And yet the fact is that things are continuing to get worse, mm-hmm. and neither their official public relations stance nor their actual work on the ground has made any difference.
Okay, well, I'd like to ask William, who I'll remind folks, it's we're talking to be William Mendoza, who's Vice President of Centralnatural Union in Colombia. I want to ask him about to tell us as clearly as possible about what his experience has been with U.S. government in one form or another, involvement in this whole process, what his experience has been, what he's seen, what he thinks, even.
¿Cuál ha sido el rol del gobierno estadounidense por ahora con su caso y con esta gira y con la conexión con la campaña?
A ver, el gobierno de los Estados Unidos, a través de su Departamento de Estado, ha conocido todas las denuncias que hemos hecho como sindicato alrededor del problema o los crímenes que ha cometido Coca-Cola con los trabajadores en Colombia. Hasta ahora no ha habido ninguna sanción, participación o investigación de parte de este gobierno hacia lo que nosotros acusamos a la empresa Coca-Cola. Por eso estamos acudiendo a la buena gente de los Estados Unidos a que nos escuchen y nos ayuden para que se paren los crímenes de Coca-Cola en Colombia.
That, in fact, the U.S. government is fully aware of what's taking place in Colombia and our cries for help through the Department of State. Yet, in fact, there has been no official reaction, no official addressing of our demands and of our condition. And that is why we're here trying to get at least the eyes and ears and the hearts of people in the U.S. that otherwise could do something to put pressure within the U.S. to allow for the case in Colombia to be brought to justice and to allow for these cases to stop popping up. Yes, some more.
Igualmente, estamos muy preocupados porque Perú, Ecuador y Colombia se afirma, se presta a firmar el Tratado de Libre Comercio. En un país donde el conflicto interno tiene, ha hecho que se hayan desplazado 3.500.000 colombianos, en su mayoría campesinos que cultivan la tierra, donde Colombia tiene que importar 9 millones de toneladas de alimentos, con la firma de este tratado nuestra seguridad alimentaria va a estar muy amenazada por las empresas transnacionales. Y creemos que hoy en Colombia hay 4 millones de personas que sufren de hambre y esa cifra va a aumentar y vamos a ser muchos los colombianos que vamos a morir por hambre porque no vamos a tener cómo adquirir los productos alimenticios producidos por las transnacionales.
And that there's a further role of the U.S. government in this, which stands as being a promise through
the free trade agreements that Colombia, Ecuador, and Peru may soon be ratifying. Now, in a country of Colombia that I mentioned with 3.5 million internally displaced refugees, and in a country that is importing 9 million tons of food products, it's easy to see how many of these peasant farmers that are displaced will not be able to compete with the huge imports and subsidies of transnational corporations, and the fact that there are currently 4 million people that are on the point of starvation. These free trade agreements and these policies will only make the process worse.
I know most Americans, I'll correct that because it's inaccurate, most people in the United States, most people in the United States, unfortunately, get just the tip of the iceberg of any of the news, and often that's even distorted. And I think that most people relate to, when they think of Colombia, they think of the drug lords and all the drug problems and that sort of thing. The drug war, the so-called drug war from this end. And I would be interested in William's thoughts on the interaction of that, the drug war, with the union and so on and so forth. I guess whatever he feels is necessary to point out to, again, those of us here in the United States who are probably not getting a very broad view of this picture.
¿Cuál ha sido el nexo, la relación entre el narcotráfico y el sindicato y esta campaña que muchas veces la gente piensa cuando pregunta sobre Colombia, piensa solamente en eso, en el narcotráfico, en el conflicto civil? ¿Cuál ha sido la conexión, si alguna, con esas dinámicas que la gente estereotipa con Colombia y la campaña y el sindicato?
A ver, conexión no ha habido alguna. Nosotros no tenemos conexión ni con las guerrillas colombianas ni con los narcotraficantes colombianos. Antes, por el contrario, los narcotraficantes colombianos hoy son los jefes de los grupos paramilitares en Colombia y son los que están supuestamente negociando un proceso de paz con el gobierno nacional, que para nosotros los sindicalistas es un proceso para legalizar los bienes adquiridos por los narcotraficantes ilegalmente y para una ley de perdón y olvido donde los jefes paramilitares, que son, repito, los mismos narcotraficantes, no pagarían un solo día de cárcel. Entonces, por lo tanto, estos narcotraficantes son realmente jefes paramilitares y tendrían a ser como enemigos de los colombianos que defendemos los derechos humanos, de los sindicalistas, de las organizaciones sociales.
Okay, let's see. So, in fact, there is no connection between our union and other unions and the drug trade, nor the paramilitaries. In fact, it's on the contrary, where many of the top drug traffickers are also paramilitary leaders. So this, in fact, has recently led to processes legislatively led by the Colombian president that look to actually legitimize the paramilitaries and to make sure that in peace talks that, in fact, the government is having with these paramilitaries, that there is no official punishment to these drug leaders as well as the paramilitaries. In fact, it has led then to a new legislation being presented that would, beyond legitimizing these paramilitary groups and the drug trade, it would also allow the legalization of any products, any gains, any benefits that were acquired through this dirty war, for them, the owners, to not be brought to trial. And so what's taking place is that, as I repeat, these drug lords are also the leaders of these paramilitary groups, which has caused them to be, for multiple reasons now, big enemies of the actual Colombian community that is trying to organize.
And I believe if what I've read is correct, which I assume it is, that the paramilitaries have been used, they could be implicated in many of these deaths of thousands of union leaders.
Lo que ha leído, me imagino que es correcto, que es lo que paramilitares han sido directamente involucrados con los asesinatos de tantos sindicalistas.
Sí, claro, eso es cierto. Hoy el paramilitarismo en Colombia es el culpable del... Creemos nosotros que el 97% de los asesinatos a dirigentes sindicales y las fuerzas del Estado tienen el restante porcentaje de responsabilidad en los asesinatos sobre nuestros compañeros. Quiero ser claro, los paramilitares o el proyecto totalitario que hoy se desarrolla en Colombia es un proyecto que elimina formas de organización y de lucha de cualquier de la población general colombiana. O sea, hoy estamos siendo eliminados porque nos oponemos a lo que tiene que ver con el imperialismo de los Estados Unidos en Colombia y al hambre y a la miseria que vive mi pueblo.
Yes, that's right, that's correct. Because of the direct connection with paramilitaries, we believe, of corporations, there have been approximately all 97% of all assassinations of union leaders have been by these paramilitaries, with the remaining percentages owed mostly to the Colombian military. Now, because of the paramilitary strength as well as the totalitarian style of government currently in place, that has led to attacks not just on union leaders but on any movements led socially by people of a different consciousness. And despite the fact there has been an even increased movement against us workers because of denouncing the practices of companies like Coca-Cola, because of denouncing the connection between the paramilitaries and these companies, that has led to a movement directly against us that has led to so many deaths of my friends and of my coworkers.
So this makes me wonder. Again, most people in the United States don't have any sense of how difficult of life this is, and I just wonder, for William and others there in Colombia, where do they find their source of hope, and are there any successes that they can point to at this point?
¿Han ustedes encontrado esperanza y motivación para seguir la lucha?
A ver, nosotros hemos encontrado mucho eco aquí en las organizaciones sindicales de los Estados Unidos, igualmente en los estudiantes de las universidades y colegios de los Estados Unidos. Nos motiva la esperanza de tener un país en paz con justicia social y seguiremos trabajando por ese ideal.
In fact, much of the hope has come from the support and solidarity we've gotten from people here in the U.S., and in particular students, where that this support and this pressure coming from allies here in the U.S. has provided for a open space for us to continue to organize and to provide security and protection for the work that we try to push forward, and for that, something that we're very thankful for.
Okay, calling for people to boycott Coca-Cola. You have campaigns to try to remove that from campuses in the United States and around the world. Are there other things that you are asking, let's say specifically people in the United States to do to support your efforts, your struggles in Colombia and elsewhere?
Para responsabilizar a Coca-Cola y poder ganar esta campaña.
A ver, una de las cosas que hemos solicitado y el mensaje nuestro en universidades es que nos organicemos mejor para hacer más efectivo el boicot. Igualmente, que tratemos de parar la ayuda militar hacia Colombia y que protestemos, o sea, que no se firme el Tratado de Libre Comercio. Pienso que si derrotamos una transnacional como Coca-Cola, que es un paso pequeño para conseguir la paz en Colombia, creo que habremos avanzado muchísimo en que precisamente se construyan unas relaciones donde el equilibrio sea la pieza fundamental.
What we're calling to be done here as well is to want to fortify the campaign against Coca-Cola by having it be organized effectively, continuing that pressure, as well as denouncing U.S. military aid, making sure that there are leads brought by representatives that will not continue to endorse this military aid to Colombia from the U.S., and as well as making sure that free trade agreements that are not continuing to be ratified and are signed to not continue this process of poverty and misery. And we feel that through these methods that we can continue to push forward this campaign and perhaps create a society of justice and equality. equilibrium. And I'll add, Scott, as well, that while there is a particular niche on universities to cut these contracts, to hold Coca-Cola accountable, the real pressure point that we being all of us, not just students and not just Colombians, of course, is that, let's say, for example, all universities throughout the U.S., globally, all universities cut their contracts. It's likely that Coca-Cola would not even feel it because of the fact that it's a huge corporation.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that 80% of their profits are made outside the U.S., 80% of their budget is used for advertising, and most of their profits are made outside the U.S. And so what actually is our direct leverage point is the fact that Coca-Cola and other companies cherish nothing more than their name, the logo and their brand. So for example, if the point of calling this boycott and the point of directly targeting contracts and connections with the company and say city halls or other venues where Coke products may be housed and vended, is that there be a direct attack on the image of the Coca-Cola company, which is what, as I mentioned, they spend 80% of their budget on marketing to build and strengthen that, the same image. And so with the same campaigns that are taken up previously by students or against companies like Taco Bell or against Nike or similar abuses, or what are known generally as sweatshops, general violations of the environment, of labor, and of human rights, that if we directly attack that image of Coca-Cola, that Coca-Cola will eventually see that they can no longer take these body punches, and they'll have to sit down with the union in Colombia. They'll have to sit down with the other affected communities and say, okay, we'll negotiate because we're taking too much heat from this movement.
Thank you for that. Are there campuses, acknowledging what you just said, Camilo, that it's broader than the campuses, obviously, but I'm wondering if there are campuses where there have been successes that you can share with folks.
Yes, of course, there have been several victories. For example, just to name a few, there are vending machines and contracts that were removed and cut from universities such as Oberlin College, Carleton College, that's in Ohio and Minnesota,
mm-hmm.
Salem State College in Massachusetts, and several high schools on the eastern and western coast of the country. Just about in May of this past spring semester, Rutgers University in New Jersey, the biggest system of universities in that state, of 51,000 students, cut their contract on all three of their campuses, Camden, Newark, and New Brunswick. As of a few weeks ago, in fact, this past month in October, Santa Clara University in the South Bay of the Bay Area in California also cut their contract and were on the brink of being able to do the same at several other high-profile schools, such as at NYU, and as well as the University of Michigan. They're looking to keep Coca-Cola accountable. And the heartening fact is that mentioned that there are also high schools and other union halls and city halls and other venues where contracts are also being cut. And people are saying, Coke, we won't do the real thing until you fix situations taking place with labor and the environment globally.
Won't do the real thing until you do the right thing.
That's right.
Okay. I'll ask then finally, I think, if William has basically anything else that he would like to say to folks listening to this discussion.
Sí, claro. Es muy importante para nosotros el apoyo que las personas de los Estados Unidos nos puedan dar. Por eso, hoy nuestro mensaje es que nos organicemos, que hagamos más fuerte el boicot contra estas transnacionales en Colombia que están produciendo precisamente la muerte a miles de personas. Hoy creemos en la buena voluntad del pueblo de los Estados Unidos, como siempre lo ha demostrado, y esperamos en consorcio con ustedes construir un país que siempre hemos soñado, donde nosotros tengamos autodeterminación, independencia y desarrollo. Muchas gracias a todos.
So of course then, we're very much appreciative of the fact to have this space to share our story, and that we continue to hope that this campaign will only become stronger even more effective, and we trust it with the hope and the commitment of people here in the U.S., as we have counted on so far, that that will in fact happen, and that we can create a more just, a more inclusive, and a more peaceful society in Colombia for the sake of not just the workers, but of future generations. And for that, we're very appreciative, and I thank you very much.
Well, definitely thank you, William. And Camilo, I would like you to, if you can, give us a rundown here fairly quickly on the speaking tour, which you and others, including, of course, William, are on this campaign.
Sure. We started this speaking tour in New York about 2 weeks ago with a very large press conference and rally outside the Manhattan offices of Coca-Cola. Then we moved down into Florida, visited communities and schools there. I moved on through up to Knoxville, Tennessee, Washington, D.C., Philadelphia, Boston. We were in Portland yesterday, and now we'll be in Seattle for a few days, moving down on into San Francisco, Los Angeles, and finishing in Atlanta, Coca-Cola's headquarters, which I invite everyone that may be listening to join us on November 18th, which is a Friday. It's the Friday before the School of the Americas Vigil in Fort Benning, Georgia. We'll be there at noon on the 18th, that Friday, at the Coca-Cola headquarters, global headquarters, in Atlanta, Georgia, for another final press conference and rally with William Mendoza, as well as we're hoping to be about 200 or 250 community members, students, and other allies to show Coca-Cola that they are no longer invincible in their own backyard, and that we'll make this campaign stronger and stronger until they actually sit down to negotiate. And if there are any other further questions or would like further contact with William or myself or the campaign, it of course can be done through either through you, Scott, I believe, as well as through visiting the websites that in Spanish, read Spanish, you can visit sinaltrainal.org, as well as in English, you can visit studentsagainstsweatshops.org for direct contact information, for an organizing manual, for different flyers and information on the campaign to help get things started wherever you may be.
Okay, thank you very, very much. As I said at the beginning, I'm honored to have the both of you take the time to speak with me and with others and share your story. And it is, of course, a very important story. And
thank you.
Yeah.
Gracias.
I'm happy to be a part of getting this message out, and perhaps we'll talk further down the line about there's so many issues. We could obviously have talked all day about the intricacies of this whole thing, but it comes right down to the main thing: stop Killer Coke.
We appreciate it, Scott.
Okay, thank you, and have a great tour.
Bye.
We were talking with Camilo Romero, national organizer for United Students Against Sweatshops, and William Mendoza, vice president of Sinaltrainal in Colombia, the union that has been struggling against Coca-Cola there and in solidarity with efforts around the world. You can get more information from United Students Against Sweatshops by visiting their website at studentsagainstsweatshops.org. That's studentsagainstsweatshops.org. That's all one word, of course. And you can get more information in Spanish, as Camilo told us, at sinaltrainal.org. I will spell that. That's www.sinaitrainal.org. There's also another website of interest, killercoke.org. That's killercoke, one word, .org.